Hey there, it's Danielle and I've been away for a while, getting myself together, taking care of self-care strategies. Real talk, I have been down, you hear me? I've had a sore throat, I've had a cough, and I've been struggling with some fatigue. So I had to step away from all of my projects and work on taking care of me. I'm back on the mend, and I'm excited to talk to you today about some information I gathered regarding a link between anxiety and lower attention spans. So if you can excuse the intermittent cracking of my voice, I'll be sure to give you some information that you can really use. So stay tuned one moment while we have a brief word from our local sponsor. Okay, here we go. I read and did some research on some information about the link between anxiety and lower attention spans in young people and adults, and found it to be rather intriguing, so I wanted to share it with you. Did you know that anxiety can also affect your attention span? Well, I know personally because I remember when I was 8 years old, I was awakened in the middle of the night with a tightness in my chest, and I could feel my heart beating really, really fast. And the thing that disturbed me was not the fast beating heart, but the fact that it was beating irregularly. And so I kind of kept it quiet because I was traumatized as a child with chronic strep throat. So anytime I complained of anything, someone was swabbing in my throat, holding me down, gagging me, and it just became a traumatic experience. So I kind of hid it in. And then as I got a little bit older, the symptoms were not just at nighttime, but quite often they were like in the middle of laughing or playing, and it would cause me to get really, really anxious, where I would sometimes be afraid to laugh and play. But that didn't last long because I love to laugh and play and have friends. And then I just began to breathe through the pain, the emotional pain of wondering if I was going to drop dead on the street. I know that sounds a lot for a kid, but I was really, really intense, and I was really, really private about what I was going through, and just didn't want the attention, didn't want the medical attention. And that was anxiety, because even though I was performing very well in school and I was very bright, I was quite disorganized. I couldn't get my work done. I couldn't think clearly. People said I didn't have common sense. I mean, it was really, really crazy. And then I remember I was in ninth grade, Renaissance High School, physical chemistry, my most favorite class of all. I mean, I loved physical chemistry. Or was it physical science? It was physical science. It wasn't physical chemistry. But at any rate, I became a chemist later on. That's another podcast. But I was in this class and we were learning about weights, and we had different size weights and we were putting them on the scale. And I snuck and took a bite of the Snicker bar because I was chronically hungry in school. This was ninth grade. And then I was sitting there and collaborating with the person next to me, and all of a sudden, I had the worst attack ever, to the point where I couldn't breathe, and I just collapsed, and everyone didn't know what was going on, and it was so embarrassing. The ambulance came, and they said, "She's just having a panic attack." Well, for the rest of my life, up until age 30, I was affected by just this inability to concentrate. I didn't have the highest scores in high school. I didn't have the highest scores in undergrad. And I always had a hard time focusing and paying attention. And when I was 30, they realized it wasn't really panic that was causing me panic. it was a real electrical rhythm problem with my heart, which caused me to panic. So I didn't have a panic disorder, I had a heart condition. But my panic and anxiety over dying caused me to have a short attention span. Well, that's the end of a long story. I've been healed, okay? So that's it. I've been healed, and that's not something that I focus on. But now I know when I see people struggle, I have compassion for them because I know that I've been there before. And I don't want people to feel like they're unheard, which is why I do a lot of listening. But at any rate, there is a link between these conditions. So if you have anxiety, then you're more likely to have attention disorders, or so they call it. I would like to say attention problems or attention issues, but I don't believe it's a disorder. But that's just my opinion. Research believes that there is a brain connection between anxiety and your attention span. So the initial studies on teens, which they have very rapidly developing brains, it reveals that they're more likely to have both issues together. So if you have anxiety or trouble concentrating, I want you to consider a few things. Number one, there is a link. So if you have problems with attention or anxiety, know that they sometimes come together. And research done at the University of Texas discovered that teens who have anxiety are also more likely to perform worse in school because of attention issues. That was me. That was me, even in my 20s too. But they also saw a connection between anxiety and other mental health issues like depression and suicide. And that's really, really common. Researchers share that in some cases, anxiety appeared first, while in other cases, attention span issues appeared first. Recognizing the first issue can help families deal with the second one. So if you see, oh, this my child is not focusing or paying attention, then you can observe your child a little closely, and then know if you see anxiety, then it should relieve some of your anxiety about it because they're often paired. So experts believe there's a deeper reason for this in the brain, and I'm not a neuroscientist, so we're going to move on. The second thing that I learned was, there is a such thing as unconscious anxiety. And medical experts believe that unconscious anxiety can explain some cases of the so-called attention deficit disorders. Now, again, I'm not a psychiatrist. I am just a licensed professional counselor who does not believe that attention deficit disorders exist. And I'll tell you about that at the end. But according to research, unconscious anxiety occurs when you don't recognize you're actually suffering from worry and concern. So you have trouble concentrating and you blame it on your poor attention span. However, in reality, your unconscious anxiety is actually preventing you from being able to focus. So the root of anxiety can be buried among deeper emotional issues. Another thing that I learned was there are overlapping symptoms. The symptoms of anxiety and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, in quotes, can overlap. The shared symptoms can include having trouble concentrating and focusing on one task. They can also include not having control over your impulses, being irritable, feeling scared, and being afraid to try new things. So it's not always easy to tell apart anxiety and attention issues. And you probably shouldn't try to tell them apart, but seek some professional help, which leads to the next thing that I learned is that if you or someone you care about has anxiety and attention issues, then seeking help will bring real benefits. There are treatment options that I learned about that can help, which includes medication to control anxiety and help those attention spans. So what they mean is some anxiolytics and some let's see, what methamphetamines. I'm being funny, but those drugs, those classes of drugs for ADHD. And I'm being funny because I think that all too often we are prescribed medication, just like you fall, scrape your knee, you clean it, and you put on a Band-Aid. But maybe you need to address the reason why you fail. Like, do you have some balance issues or coordination problems, or is there, a brain problem? I'm being funny, but I'm just saying that anxiety and attention span issues are not something that I personally would put a Band-Aid on. But again, I didn't go to medical school, nor did I do a residency in psychiatry. I just think I know everything. At any rate, I will not fight anybody for their treatment options, but I think that you should err on the side of nutrition before you jump to the heavy stuff that can alter the function and structure of the brain. And that includes, why not remove all of the crap from your diet that is causing inflammation in the brain that causes attention issues and which may also potentially cause anxiety, especially if you are looking at your desk and there's like stuff everywhere and your brain has to process everything and you can't get any work done. And yeah, that's going to cause anxiety. But if you increase your diet with dark green leafy vegetables, omega-3 fatty acids, some things to reduce inflammation like turmeric and all of that other good stuff I can't think of right now, and also removing the preservatives and the food coloring that God only knows why we need our food to be colored, but the high fructose corn syrup and the standard American diet, all that stuff causes inflammation in the body. And wherever there's inflammation, there is disease. And yeah, having symptoms of anxiety and the so-called attention deficit disorder is really a sign of a bigger problem in the central nervous system. Yeah, I'm kind of geeky about this stuff, but I just want to tell you. The treatment option is medication, but I say the first treatment option should be nutrition and supplementation with herbs and whole foods and, the good colorful vegetables and all that other stuff. Another treatment option is therapy, and woohoo, I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas. Just thought I'd plug myself, but I don't see teens. I see adults with the same problems. But that's another story for another time. But when you are in therapy, you can adjust your behavior by learning cognitive behavior therapy skills or acceptance commitment therapy or whatever type of modality it is. If you can get to the root of the thinking that is stinking, then you can get rid of the bad emotions and the poor choices or reactions or decisions that you make in your life. So don't discount therapy. And guess what? Now, these days, for those of us that come from backgrounds where therapy has a stigma attached to it, I do telemental health therapy now, and I see all of my clients on video or phone right in the comfort of their own home. So you don't have to worry about who sees you going into the mental health office. Or whatever, you get to take care of your mental health right in the privacy of your own home. And then finally, meditation and relaxation are also commonly used to help with both disorders. And I can attest to both of these. I want to throw an unsolicited plug out to an app that's not paying me, although I'll take the money if they want to give it to me. But this app is called Shine. And this app is amazing. And you take 10 minutes out of your day, plus a little extra if you want to do the journaling or answer the questions and the prompts. But when I tell you for 10 minutes, I took a pause and listened to the speaker and reflected and focused on my body sensations and my breath, I felt a whole lot more relaxed. And when I had a season of stress, like the pandemic that we've been experiencing all through 2020, it rocked my world because I had to start working from home. I had to educate my children from home. My husband lost employment for a season, and there, were some financial concerns. Thank God for, here's another plug that's unsolicited and I'm not getting paid for it, but Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University taught us to have 3 to 6 months of living expenses in an account. So that took away a lot of the stress. But getting back, see, I'm all over the place. I don't have ADD. I'm just excited to talk to you guys. But at any rate, getting back to the meditation, when I was going through those things, it helped. And then relaxation, listen to me. I am a fitness coach as well, and I had an opportunity to look through some things that help with exercising, and I found a yoga fitness class. Now, don't let it fool you. I am a Christian therapist, but I do not practice the religion yoga, but I do the stretches, and there's no chanting or anything else like that. Any rate, I did the yoga stretches, and I tell you, I went from being a very stiff and inflexible to now I can touch my fingers on the floor. And I found that it caused me to relax. And in the midst of the struggle of anxiety and all the chaos that was going on, I was calm. So if that happened to me, I think anything you do, whether it's yoga or Pilates or any type of fitness, which will divert your mind from your negative thinking, it's a winner. Moving on, there is some information that I've come across that says that there's a role of learning disabilities that's been linked to or can exacerbate anxiety and attention issues. So, science has said that these three have all occurred together. Not for all cases, but here we go. In some cases, learning disabilities are not caught right away as a child starts school, and then the child is sometimes able to compensate for their learning disabilities, so the issues go undiagnosed. However, anxiety and attention disorders can be worse in children with learning disabilities. So, by focusing on the learning issues, these kids have a chance to succeed in school and reduce their anxiety. So, my heart really goes out to the kids that those disabilities aren't caught right away, and then they try to compensate for it and do different things, and it just ends up causing more anxiety later on. And they pass them through the system where they end up not learning. So I think as parents, we need to be very careful to really focus in if we see a problem with our children. Now, a child with a learning disability can feel anxious before every test or quiz in school and try to avoid classes. And in addition, the same child can be so stressed out that they're unable to concentrate on the simplest task. So the learning disability makes the issues grow stronger and more difficult to treat. And that's when someone usually tries to say that, oh, they have ADD. Because when they don't know what's going on, they say you have ADD. And I tell you one thing I learned very early on. If people don't know what's going on, then you tell them, test them. The public school system does not want to hear that word. But if they tell you that there's a problem with your child, then ask them to put that child, your child, the one you love, through those tests that they can use to make sure there's no dyslexia or specific learning disabilities or what have you. They will thoroughly test your child, and then if there is a problem, come up with a treatment plan which will help the child get accommodations throughout the school year. Now, it's important to note that kids aren't the only ones who suffer from all three conditions. Adults can spend years being misdiagnosed or not getting proper treatments. So, anxiety and attention issues can appear together. So, if you or a loved one suffers from these issues, current research can help you understand what is happening in the brain and seek treatment that can help. So first you kind of, talk to your doctor, maybe see a psychologist. They do a lot of the psychometric testing and they're very skilled in interpreting them. So you can get an opinion there first and even do the therapy with the psychologist. But if someone has told you that you have attention deficit disorders or anxiety, then it's best to look at the nutrition and work with a therapist to relieve the symptoms through cognitive behavior therapy. Now, if you have any questions, you are welcome to reach out to me at www.hope2healed.com. That's HOPE 2, not the number 2, HEALED. com. You can also email at therapist@hopetohealed.com. And if you have any other questions, we'll reach out to you as soon as possible. We do have some telemental health therapy slots open on the weekend. So if you're interested in therapy, again, just reach out to us on the website, www.hopetohealed.com, or email us at therapist@hopetohealed.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a delight talking with you. Please like and share and leave comments and questions, and I will be happy to have a great dialogue with you. Take care and have a blessed day. Bye-bye now.